first say a few words about what the kindness here is about. We know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians. This was the first temple. And in many, many ways, of course, it was destroyed on the 9th of Av. Both temples were destroyed on the 9th of Av. But in many ways, the loss of the first Beis HaMikdash was never recovered. One might think, well, I got the second Beis HaMikdash. The answer is no. The first Beis HaMikdash, there was prophecy, there was a very, very great level of holiness. And even when we regained the second Beis HaMikdash, we never really got back everything we had in the first Beis HaMikdash. There were no prophets. Prophecy had died out. The Kohen Gadol's Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate with the jewels, where there would be prophetic answers. Remember, the names of the tribes were engraved on the jewels. And you'd ask the Kohen Gadol questions. Should we go to war? Should we not? So either a Chaf Nun would light up, Cain. You had to be very specific. It had to be a yes or no type of answer. You couldn't have essay answers with the Urim V'Tumim. But you would get direct divine guidance. All of that stopped in the Bayis Sheni. So the Churban Bayis Rishon was a great, great, great loss. But even after the Churban Bayis Rishon, there were a number of Jews who remained in Eretz Yisrael. Most of them left, but there was a small group of Jews that were permitted to live in Eretz Yisrael under Babylonian rule. And King Nebuchadnezzar even gave them a governor. And the governor was a man, a Jewish man, called Gedaliah ben Achikam. He was the last governor, not a king, because they're under Babylonian rule, but he was the last governor, according to some traditions, although it's not clear. He was actually a descendant of David HaMelech, so he was a potential messianic figure, Malchus Beis David. And there was a great deal of jealousy. Many people were jealous of him because he had a certain amount of political power, and he was warned that there would be non-Jewish enemies who would want to assassinate him. And there would be Jewish people helping the assassins and the like. But Gedaliah's response was, he does not listen to Lashon Hara. He does not listen to negative reports. Now this is halakhically a mistake. If somebody tells you that someone is trying to kill you, even though you're not supposed to believe it as absolutely true, but you're supposed to take precautions, right? You know, Lashon Hara means I don't accept it as 100% the case, but I certainly have to be choshesh. But because Gedaliah was so righteous, he refused to think badly about anybody, Jew or non-Jew. He was actually assassinated. Now, on one hand, he was a great tzaddik, and Chazal say that the death of the righteous is as great a tragedy as the destruction of the temple. But it's more than simply the death of a righteous person, although obviously Gedaliah was a righteous person. This was a destruction. This was really the final hammer blow in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Because as long as there were Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, they thought, perhaps we'll be able to rebuild the temple. Perhaps Gedaliah will become like Mashiach. Perhaps these things will happen. The finality of the Churban Beis HaMikdash did not take effect until Gedaliah was killed, and then they realized we are in Golus for the long term. Now the long term in that case was only 70 years, but still that made the Golus very, very real. As long as Gedaliah was alive, there was hope. The death of Gedaliah signified there was no hope, that's the end, at least for the 70 years of the Jewish settlement in Eretz Israel. That is the end of messianic dreams for those 70 years. That is the end of being able to rebuild the temple right away. Yeah.
Who is Chazal?
Oh yeah, I'm glad you raised that. I talk about Chazal a lot. Chazal is an abbreviation, and it simply means Chachameinu, our sages, Zichronam Livracha, may their memory be a blessing, and it is a generic term for the rabbis of the Mishnah, Gemara, and Medrash. So when we talk about Rashi and the Rambam, as great as they were, we don't call them Chazal. Chazal are only the actual rabbis in the Mishnah, Gemara, and that. You remind me of a little joke. You know, a woman wrote a book, a woman who was not religious, wrote a book about the difficulties was living with her daughter, who became a very, very religious balas tshuva. A very interesting book, talking about the struggles and all of the... So she mentions that when her daughter comes to visit her in Australia, so she wants to take her, the mother wants to take her to a treif restaurant to show off, that's where all the her Jewish friends go, and to show off the grandchildren. And, you know, you won't have to eat anything treif, just be there so the friends can see you. I can show you off. So the woman said, well, I don't know, there's Marisayan around. So, and she kept on bringing a lot, Marisayan means appearances. So the mother gets very frustrated, and the mother says, who is this Morris Ayan that you're always worried about? He's always watching you, you know. Can't we get away from Morris Ayan? So who is Chazal? Chazal are basically all the rabbis of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Sometimes they're called Razal, which just means Rabboseinu, our rabbis of blessed memory. Okay. But this is the idea that and therefore think about this. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 9th of Av. Gedaliah was killed. The next 3rd of Tishrei, right after that. So in other words, Gedaliah was killed, what? Av, right? So you have Av, Elul, just 2 months, less than 2 months after the destruction of the temple, right? So that was it. Did you have a question?
Yeah, why was Gedaliah assassinated?
Yeah, the assassin was a man called Yishmael ben Nesanya, and he was not Jewish per se, but the reason he was assassinated was similar to the things you have today. The local non-Jewish populations, who were not Arabs necessarily, were jealous of any attempt of the Jews to continue to have a government and a state in the land of Israel. And therefore they wanted to get rid of him because they saw him as a potential king figure. And remember, many Jews looked at him that way as well. They thought he would be Mashiach and the like. But I do want to emphasize that the statement that I made, that he was descended from Malchus based of it, is not explicit in the Tanakh. It is really something that different commentators say, but you know, you're not going to find that direct statement in the Tanakh itself. This is in the book of Yirmiyahu. Remember, Yirmiyahu was the prophet who actually experienced the destruction of the temple. He wrote Lamentations. He was here when it happened, and he describes the assassination and the death of Gedaliah. Now, one interesting little point is we have today, of course, is the third day of Tishrei. And we fast on the third day of Tishrei. But in reality, there are some commentators who say Gedaliah was actually killed on Rosh Hashanah. Gedaliah was killed on Rosh Hashanah, but since you're not allowed to fast on a holiday, we delay the fast to the first day that's not a holiday. Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, so we have to delay it. He was actually killed either the first day of Rosh Hashanah or the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Now this has a fast, I don't want to get too technical, but I'll share something with you. This has a fascinating technical halachic detail that may be associated here. And that is, let's take the 9th of Av. When the 9th of Av falls on a weekday, we fast. When the 9th of Av falls on a Shabbos, we're not allowed to fast. So we observe the fast on a Sunday. Right? It happens quite a lot. Now, there is a name for when a fast is moved from Shabbos to Sunday. And that is, it is called a nitche. Nitche is just a Hebrew word that says pushed off. Is there a difference halachically between a fast that is observed the correct day and a fast that is a nitche? Let's take the 9th of Av first, then I'll apply it to this fast. Right, is there a difference between Tisha B'Av on Tuesday, which is a regular, the official day, or Tisha B'Av on Shabbos when I fast on Sunday, so Sunday is a nitche? Is there a difference? For most purposes, there is no difference. Nitche is just as strict. But there's one specific example where we are makil, we are lenient for a nitche, and we would not be lenient on the official day. And that is in the case of a bris. We do a bris on Tisha B'Av too, even on Yom Kippur, but we don't eat. You don't have a meal till afterwards. But it's so if you do a bris on Tisha B'Av, of course that's a very good thing to do a bris on Tisha B'Av, because we say Tisha B'Av is the day that Mashiach is born. Well, I guess I say it's not the circumcision date, but it's connected to Mashiach. But nobody can eat. But let's say it's a nitka. If I'm doing a bris on the 10th of Av, which is Sunday, it's Tishrei of the Shabbos, so although most people cannot eat, it says the mohel and the parents are allowed to eat at the bris when it is, only when it is a nitcha. When it's not a nitcha, it's absolutely forbidden. When it is a nitcha, they are permitted to eat. This is a halacha. Now, based on that halacha, here is the question. What if you have a bris on Som Gedalia? I don't know if anyone had a bris on Som Gedalia. If you had a bris on Som Gedalia, would the mohel and the parents be allowed to eat? Some opinions say every Som Gedalia is a nitcha. Everyone. In other words, every time you keep this fast, you're not keeping it on the right day, because the right day was Rosh Hashanah. So every Som Gedalia is a nitcha. You see? Because you're never keeping it the right day. If that's the case, the leniency that on a nitcha the parents and the mohel could eat would apply. But some achronim have an opposite svara. If it's always a nitcha, then that becomes its official date. Meaning to say, something's a nitcha only when you sometimes keep it the right date, and sometimes you keep it the wrong date, so we talk about the wrong date. But here, the wrong date is always the date you keep it. You never keep it the right date, which is Rosh Hashanah. So, if the wrong date is 100% of the time when you keep it, it becomes the official right date. And therefore, the leniency of nitcha, you're not going to have. So it's a machlokas poskim. If anyone is expecting to do a bris today, they should talk to a rabbi about the appropriate halacha. But this is an interesting question. Do I say it's always a nitcha, or do I say, well, if it's always a nitcha, then that becomes the time. It's never a nitcha, right? So that's going to be a practical nafkamina. There's also an interesting question about the following. Let's say a person's health is not the greatest. Now we know that Som Gedalia is always the same day as Yom Kippur, right? Next week we got the big fast. Right? We have an easier fast today, and then we have the Torah fast of Yom Kippur. Now keep in mind, fasting on Som Gedalia is a rabbinic enactment. It is not something the Torah requires you to do. Fasting on Yom Kippur is a Torah law. You are obligated, unless your life is in danger. If your life, God forbid, is in danger, then of course you eat even on Yom Kippur. So let's imagine the following scenario. It's an interesting scenario. Let's imagine a person is relatively weak, and they're able to do one fast within a week. But a second fast would be dangerous to their life. And let's assume that that's the medical prognosis. So the question is this. I have a fast this Wednesday, and I have a fast next Wednesday. Next Wednesday's fast is much more important than this Wednesday's fast. But if I fast this Wednesday, it will be medically and even halachically, therefore, impossible for me to fast next Wednesday. So would it be better for me to basically say, well, although I'm capable of fasting today, remember, I can fast today, but if by fasting today I'm not going to fast on Yom Kippur, is it better for me to break the fast today so I can fast on Yom Kippur? Or is your attitude, you got to take mitzvos in the order that they hit you? Right now I have a mitzvah. Can I do this mitzvah? Yes, I can. I can do it. By doing it, I will be in a situation where because of my health, I will not be able to do that later. That's up to God. Meaning, you don't say, I'm not going to do this mitzvah now, because that'll disable me from doing a future mitzvah. So this is a machlokas lahalacha. Again, I hope that none of you have a shaila like this. But this is a machlokas lahalacha. Some say, you should specifically eat on Som Gedalia, if otherwise you will not be able to fast on Yom Kippur, because you've got to prioritize. Others say, you look at mitzvos in the order that they hit you. If you can fast today, in other words, there's no health problem, you must fast today, and if you can't fast on Yom Kippur, the Torah allows you not to fast on Yom Kippur if your health is compromised. Machlokas. Now, let me give you an example, and a parallel question that the Chafetz Chaim was asked. And this is very interesting. You know, the Chafetz Chaim wrote many, many books. You know, the Chafetz Chaim just died in 1933. He's best known for the Mishnah Berurah, which is the primary source of Halacha. And he's known for his books on Lashon Hara, about not speaking Lashon Hara. That Chafetz Chaim means he is the one who loves life. Guard your tongue from evil. That